Welcome back to another Team Effort content warning disclaimer, which is odd because the episode you're about to listen to does not include Lawrence Mooney. But it does include one of Australia's greatest actors discussing one of the world's biggest directors. And that discussion requires this warning. So if you're offended by foul language and more graphic depictions of sexual activity, maybe turn off now. But thanks for the download, because if you've made it this far, it still counts.
Welcome back to the Team Effort. I am Ed Cavalli. Today, it's all about movies, TV shows, and fake lips. With me, as always, is our fact checker and producer. Hello, Jay.
Hello.
Jay, please hit our intro music. Never made it as a wise man. No. Not that, please. Hit our actual intro music. Well, what a lineup we have for you today. Our first guest is not a player, but he crushes a lot. Rumor has it that he was one of the chief contributors to the IMDb. Rumor one of our other guests today tried to exploit while living in LA, desperately grabbing at credits. I'll let you guess who that may have been. He's the only person in the world to have interviewed both Richard E. Grant and the lead singer of LaBouche. You can read his writing on film in Scarcely Relevant and watch his writing of film in Bad Eggs. Yes, he was in The Castle. No, he wasn't in Sirens. Please welcome Mr. Tony Martin.
Yes, that's me. I did audition for Sirens.
Which part?
Portia de Rossi.
She got your part, did she?
Yeah, I had larger boobs, but...
Yes.
Sorry, it's already turned ugly.
No, it hasn't. It's
terrible.
Turned informative. Our second guest has been in an online tickle video where his portrayal of hotel manager Jasper drew rave reviews from internet commentators and fetish-loving masturbators alike. He's the only person in this room that has worked with Martin Sheen and Paulie Shore. He's got a new comedy show called Back in Business and a house full of furniture, including a NutriBullet and a soda stream that he assures me he owns outright. He was last seen hovering around the brakes of Grant Denyer's race car. It's Mr. Ash Williams.
Hello, and good morning to you.
What voice is that?
I don't know. We're just fired up.
That is the voice of a man with a business degree.
Oh, where from?
Melbourne University.
No.
Deakin.
Deakin University.
No. From youcanbeaneconomist.com.
.net, I think you'll find. .russia.
Can I just say the Deakin Melbourne campus? That's very important.
Yes, it is. Our final guest today is making his Team Effort debut. You want a multi-award-winning actor for his portrayal of Kerry Packer? Tick. You want a writer and filmmaker? Tick. You want one of Australia's premier voiceover artists? Tick. Perhaps you're in the mood for an Offspring actor whose accent has changed several times, often mid-series, often mid-show. We've got that too. Most of all, you want a man who's been in a film with Robert De Niro and a mineshaft with Shane Jacobson? Double tick. There is no way to cover how much this man knows about how many topics we will cover today by simply saying, please welcome the wonderful Lachie Hume.
Hello.
Just before we started this podcast, Lachie Hume goes, are we allowed to swear in this?
Well, he does.
So go for a swear. Come on, yeah. Get it out of your system.
Take it for a roll.
Well, you should have introduced me as Lachie fucking Hume.
Lachie fucking Hume.
He's just been in a David Mamet play, so he's right up on the potty mouth.
You've gone potty mouth. Was it the swearing one about not closing sales?
No, it wasn't Glengarry Glen Ross. It was Speed the Plow.
Ash, have you seen Speed the Plow?
Definitely not.
Mm. You'd love it, Ash. It's about show business.
Is it?
Yep, it's about getting movies made.
Oh, well, show business is a business.
It is. Like no business I know.
Lachie.
Well, this guy, you are aware that, Lachie Hume is probably not across the fact that, who was Dale Carnegie? Remember he did?
Yeah, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
That was 20th century, 21st century version.
Yes.
Ash Williams.
Ash Williams.
Thank you, Tony.
True, Ash. It's true, Ash. The audience should know that Ash and I actually used to be next door neighbours.
We did. And also, coming up, we are one day apart in birthdays.
So your birthday's Friday, mine is Saturday.
Happy birthday, Lach.
Happy birthday,
and
Ash.
Remember, I love you too. Give us a kiss.
Hello.
It's beautiful. First bit of romance we've had.
Remember, Lachie, you would always come over to my house the day of my birthday or whatever, and you'd go, my mum says, happy birthday, and she's worried about you.
Yeah, she'd get the carpets cleaned. Ash flooded his apartment and just let that fester for 6 months.
Yes, that's right.
And we'd go over and really... I don't know how to describe it, but Yarra River comes to mind.
Yes. The washing machine leaked, and then I thought it will dry out. And then one morning I woke up and I couldn't breathe, and I Googled washing machine floods, and they said people will die.
Yeah.
Right. And then I called Lockie and said, listen.
Because that's who you'd ring.
Yeah.
Your house is flooded. Mm-hmm. I know who I'll call. Lockie Hugh.
Yeah.
And
my mum was very concerned for you during that period of your life.
I was concerned too. Yeah. I actually, you know what? Dark days.
Speaking of business, the property business is one that, you know, Tony, people, we keep hearing about folks that bought houses for $10 back in the 80s and are now worth $3 million.
Yes.
Ash, you've got your own version of that because you bought that apartment off the plan.
Oh, yeah.
And you sold it sometime after that. How much did we end up making?
So I bought it for $335 off the plan in 2010.
Yep.
And then it got built a year later.
Yep.
And then I moved into it and I sold it in 2016 for $335,000.
Wow.
Brilliant.
There's icing on the cake because you were able to sell all of the furniture to your neighbours under an assumed identity, if I recall. We've talked about this.
We have. I didn't want to say it was Ash's garage sale because I'm friends with everyone in the building. So I said that Jake was having a garage sale so that people would turn up and they'd try and barter with me. And I'd say, look, I'd love to, but Jake, it's Jake's stuff and Jake's not home. And Jake says it's $40 for a kettle.
Yeah. Jake's doing really well. Hasn't Jake got his own HBO show? That's what I've heard.
Jake and the Fat Man too.
Yes.
Lockie, every time you make a point today, a good point, you're going to hear this noise.
Cool.
What is that noise?
That's the Batman theme by Hans Zimmer. Out of the blocks.
Now, this is one of your many, many areas of expertise, Lockie Hume.
Yeah.
Is the Batman, the world of Batman.
Yeah, I can attest to this because I once went to Lockie Hume's house and you were living in a fairly sort of rundown kind of young one's house.
Right.
And everything was kind of sort of battered and broken except for this pristine glass cabinet in the middle of the sort of lounge room filled with rare Batman memorabilia. That's correct. Quite amazing.
That's true, yes, yes.
And Lockie Hume went out of the room at one point and then came back and frightened me and my ex-wife by appearing wearing a set of teeth he'd had designed to audition to play the Joker. And those, it was terrifying.
And those teeth got their run in Ed Cavalier's film, Border Protection Squad.
Yes.
I was playing Dennis.
Yes.
Dennis, the Bosnian dojo kickboxing master.
That's right.
And I said to Ed, let's just assume that he's had his face smashed in.
Let's do that.
So many times, but he went to the Ukraine to get his teeth fixed.
That's correct. So you wore the teeth. And do you remember my protesting? I said, but Locke, if you're doing a Bosnian accent and wearing the fake teeth, surely it'll make you harder to understand. Do you remember what you said to me?
No, I don't, but I'm sure it was something witty and insightful.
You said to me on speaker, you were in the car, Ash, at the time. I said, Locke, it'll make you harder to understand. And you said, that's the thing, it's really weird. For some reason, the teeth make me easier to understand.
But it was amazing to get a preview. As we did, of what the Joker would have been like had Lockie Hume played the role. And it was quite impressive. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but Heath Ledger sure won some kind of award.
Some sort of award,
or two or five.
You know, quite a good performance. Yeah. But it was entirely based on Tom Waits on the Don Lane Show.
Tony, that's what
a show.
Everyone
Can we get a fact check?
Jake, play something.
We are going to prove this by the... People at home are pulling over... Even in their lounge room, they're pulling over to the side of the couch. They're going, what are you talking about? There is a clip of Tom Waits on YouTube on the Don Lane Show, and Heath Ledger has just copied that.
Wow.
You might not believe me now.
Boom.
You will by the end of this podcast.
You know, and you should have just dropped the mic and walked out after that one, buddy.
You won't.
That is never going to be topped.
You won't.
I'm handing speed. Let's... Back on the topic of Batman, Ash, here is my phone. This is a... if you're ever going to deal with Locke, one thing you need to know is that you're going to have to pick him up. If you want him to come and do something, you have to pick him up.
Absolutely.
And you have to drop him home.
Does he not drive? No license?
No, you know that.
Yeah, but didn't you... Yeah, I know that used to be the case.
Hang on. No mobile phone, no credit cards, yeah. Still carrying your bank book in your back pocket.
Yeah, but I'm a big fan of the horseless carriage. Yeah. But no,
well,
you...
that's just horse and buggy thinking, Martin.
But I remember you didn't have a license, but then I saw you driving in a film.
Yeah. I drive in the movies.
Yeah, hang on.
I drive in the movies.
You're not towed.
Hang on, I've driven Ferraris, I've driven Lamborghinis, and Range Rovers, Jags, I've driven a Holden GT.
Not against a green screen.
No.
Actual driving. So how does that work? Is that A, legal, or B, allowed, possible?
I had to get my L plates to do that.
Right.
So provided the cameraman in the car with me has got his driver's license, then it's all perfectly legal.
So in the film, any Working Dog film, Any Questions for Ben, you were driving a Lamborghini on your L's.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Rob Six rang me and he said, oh, look, you know, you're going to have to get your license. And I said, don't be ridiculous. Just put the car on a... you know, camera trailer. And he said, no, I've measured. With Ferraris and Lamborghinis, they're too low to the ground. So you're actually going to have to get your driver's license. He said, you start shooting in 5 weeks. Yeah. There's no way I'm going to be able to get my license. He said, will you at least get your L plate? So Robbie came over and he bought the book, you know, the test book you had to do. Okay, so the Working Dog guys took me off to the thing. They were all apparently hovering around the office waiting for the results to come through.
Yes.
So I went in and I did the test. I blitzed it, got one thing wrong. I can't remember what it was.
About crashing Lamborghinis, if I remember what the question was.
Literally 48 hours later, Josh Lawson and I hooning down Flinders Street with me behind the wheel of a $750,000 Ferrari.
On your L.
Yeah, and I got up to 120.
Any crashes, Locke?
No, not that I'm admitting to.
I'm handing you, speaking of Batman, Locke, I understand actually you have a question for Locke.
No, because you say you'd pick Lockie up a lot of the time, and I remember I picked you up for Border Protection Squad, Lockie, and you were early. And I said to you, and this is a quote I think of at least once a week, it's by you, Lockie, and I said, you're so early, Lockie, and you said, Ashley, if you're 15 minutes early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. If you're 15 minutes late, don't bother.
That's it. It's a fact.
Have you found that clip yet, Jay?
He's working on it.
Just go into it a bit.
I've sent it to the editors.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to come back. We're going to get some of that action.
Excellent. Wow.
Speaking, let's just wrap up perhaps the first part of the Batman section. Ash, I'd like to hand you this, my phone, right, and describe what you're seeing there. It's a photograph I just took at Lockie's house, and once you've had a look at that, pass it to Tone.
Sure.
I didn't see you taking photos.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Tony, maybe you could describe what you're seeing there. What is that that I'm... what's that photograph?
Is that a wedding cake?
No, it's bubble...
Oh, it's a doona. No.
No, it's bubble paper. Right? I'm very bad at taking photos. And on top of it is...
It's Lego.
It's Lego.
Wow.
More specifically, but you'll see the Batman and Robin are in that pieces of Lego there.
Yeah, there's a Batmobile. Do you sleep on this every night?
I do. Actually, that's my quilt.
Now, Lockie, what is that?
That I call that the Bat Beast.
Okay.
So basically, it's a submarine / spaceship for Batman and Robin that is of my own design. As you can see, if you're a fan of Aliens, I ripped off the front of the Sulaco, the spaceship from Aliens.
Now, I need to clear this up. This is a Batman and Robin vehicle that you have invented yourself in your own house and made out of Lego.
Yes. Wow.
What other projects are you working on in that flat?
Well, I'm waiting for a spare part to come back to get my evil weather machine going.
Can we talk about this? I used to live across the road from Lockie Hume and Ash.
Yes.
And I never once visited Lockie's flat. And I remember me and the girlfriend were once... a bit pissed, and we were going, let's try and imagine what the inside of Lockie Hume's flat looks like.
Good idea.
And the first thing that popped into both of our heads was candles. Heaps of candles, like 40 or 50 candles. It's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the blinds are down, the candles are on.
Yes.
And you went there, and isn't that exactly what it was like?
Very much.
It's quite...
it's exactly that, but no candles.
Oh, really?
The best description of it ever was for Asher Keddie, actually. The actor was over at my place once. She took a look around and she said, it's like your brain exploded over the walls.
We also guessed that there would be at least one framed poster for Scarface.
There's two.
There's two in the bedroom.
There's two in the bedroom.
The ceiling?
Yeah. No, there's a 6-foot poster of Scarface, and it's a shot of Pacino after the chainsaw sequence.
Yes.
And he comes out onto the street, and he's in the Hawaiian shirt, and he's covered in blood. It's that.
In the bedroom. Wow.
A 6 foot tall. It, so it's bigger than Al Pacino.
It's very...
It's actually a poster that's bigger than Al Pacino.
Bigger than life size. Yeah, you've invented life something. Size.
If it was 5'4", it would have been a Pacino life size, but it's 6 foot.
Yeah. Is that show Come Dine With Me still on?
Celebrity Come Dine With
Celebrity
Me.
Celebrity Come Dine With
yes,
Me.
Yes, it is.
You, when you need to have people over at your house for Celebrity
now,
Come Dine With
Tony,
Me.
Now, Tony, do you know how that works? So my wife, Tiff, did it, and it was the worst 2 weeks of our life. Because, she said she was going to have to do Celebrity Come Dine With Me. So she had to cook for Red Simons, Mark Holden, and some other, a musical theatre actress, right? But you go to each
other. Christy Willen Brown.
Christy Willen Brown. Thank you. You had to go to each other's house, Tone. And then they have a rating system for who had the best meal, right?
Is Colin Lane there? Was he the host? Who was the...
Not at that point, but I think he has done it. Right. I think he's the new host. So my question is as follows. Let's say Lockie was in. Lock's one of them. Yep. Who would be a good three other celebrities for Lockie to do it with?
Are you hinting that it should be you guys?
Well, no, because we know you.
Yeah. We're not going to be shocked by the 6 foot Scarface when we walk in. We need someone. The first person you need is someone someone really straight laced who's going to be shocked at the lifestyle.
Christopher Pine.
Christopher Pine. Yeah. That's a nice one. But he'd like all the cowls
and
leathers.
I've met Christopher Pine.
Have you?
Yeah.
He's sort of eyes wide shut, sort of.
Yeah, it was kind of that. Yeah, that's where the candles came in.
Yeah. Who do you think? Ash?
Alan Border?
AB.
Yeah. He's a nice guy.
I love AB.
He's
a nice guy. Yeah, I love AB.
Now, you see, you need a wild card now. What about either serial pest Peter Hoare?
Fantastic.
Or Dr. Jeffrey Edelston?
Yeah, or who's the, or Peter Foster, the con man.
Serial con man.
Peter 3. The sub out Border. Sub out whoever else.
Serial con man, Peter Foster.
In the derps.
Serial pest.
Serial pest.
Peter Hoare. And Madman Medico. Dr. Jeffrey Edelston.
Former madman, former medico, Jeffrey Edelston and Lockie Hume.
Wow.
What an evening.
Buckle up.
I had someone tweet me saying they know the whereabouts of Peter Hoare because we haven't seen him for a while.
No. Mm-hmm.
He was playing electric guitar. I don't know how credible this source is. Electric guitar busking in, I think it was Wangaratta. Jeez. Anyway, big shout out to him.
That's minor key for Peter Hoare.
Yeah, it is. He's a big fan of the show. So
is he?
Hello, Peter.
Big shout out to you, Pete.
Yeah.
Well, I love your
friend of the show. It'd
be good to have him just do a streak through at the end of the episode.
That's a great idea. Well, you know Peter Foster once, didn't he jump off a bridge?
Yeah, that was his
trademark move. Leaping off a pier in his underpants while investors scratch their heads.
Was he faking his own death?
No, it's just I'm out of here.
Celebrate.
I'm out of here. Boom.
I've got the money. I'm out. I'm off.
Yeah. Talk to me, Lockie Hume, about your record. I saw you recently. I spoke to you recently on the phone, and it's always wonderful. After I've got off the phone to you, I always look down, and you can see, Ash, as you know, how long the phone call's taken place.
Yes.
And it was an 8-minute phone call, and I said to Tony later on, it felt like it went in a good way. For about an hour and a half. There was so much.
Because there was so much packed in.
There was so much going on.
Right.
That I got off the phone and my wife was like, who was that? I was like, that was Lockie. I was like, oh my God, what year is it? She's like, you're only on the phone for 8 minutes. There was so much going on.
Yeah.
But one of the key moments was that you told me that you and your lovely partner, Lydia, have set a record.
Yeah, we've got, we think, the biggest single collection of Batman and Robin memorabilia, toys, etc. in the Southern Hemisphere.
Does it need to be...
It's nearly 1,000 pieces. So we could be wrong, but we know that the world record is some guy in the UK, and he's actually just donated it, all of his stuff. It's like 3,600 items. Stuff like Adam West's costume from the 60s series. Donated it all to some museum in the United States now.
Oh.
Which I've actually seen a doco of this guy where Adam West goes to his place and puts the cowl on.
Oh,
and it still fits perfectly for the 60s TV series.
Hey, you know what would be a good one to have is when it went pink.
Yes, the when pink the cow. The Mad Hatter.
Contaminated it.
Contaminated the cow.
And it went pink. Yeah. Wait, have you got anything relating to the Clock King?
No, we don't have any Clock King stuff. We don't have any bookworm stuff.
Nothing from
we
the
don't
bookworm.
Have any King Tut.
What about the egg?
I might have a King Tut action figure. I might have a King Tunnock.
You know what I always wanted to do, which was get Lockie Hume in Joker mode to team up
with Sean
McAuliffe as Cesar Romero Joker. Wonderful. Because McAuliffe is obsessed with the fact that he would always paint over the moustache. Yeah. Cesar Romero refused to shave his moustache off. And
just
so
paint over it.
Just painted over it.
I'll tell you, there's a theory about that. Okay, here, check this out.
Here we go.
Yep.
That the Batman, this is like a time loop theory.
Good.
Is that after Christopher Nolan's trilogy, yes, you could actually then say that it's continued on in the Batman TV series. Oh. Think about it.
So it's like
by the time we pick up with the Batman TV series, because Bruce Wayne in the Nolan films is always saying, I need a lighter costume.
Yes.
So by the time we meet the Adam West Batman, he's got the ultimate lightweight costume. Yeah. By this stage, he's now got Robin as the sidekick. Oh. There's no Harvey Dent because Harvey Dent died.
That's right.
Because they established that Heath Ledger's Joker just painted the stuff on, that explains why there's a mustache underneath the Joker's makeup.
Holy shit.
Quite right. There was no Two-Face TV series. And yet they were just making them up by the end. The minstrel. Yeah.
Reason why there is no Two-Face, they actually, Harlan Ellison, the famous sci-fi writer, wrote the two-part episode for Two-Face, which has now been adapted into a comic book, so you can actually buy it.
Wow.
Right?
Do you have it?
I do. And it was too expensive to do, and they couldn't make the makeup work. Trivia question, who was going to play Harvey Dent in the 60s TV series?
Oh, Jim Neighbours.
Clint Eastwood.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Where's the Batman thing?
Lockie's now pointing at Jay when he wants his sting.
Okay. You know, it's not till you sort of become an adult that you realise that, they were taking the piss a lot of the time in the Adam West series.
Yeah. Yes.
But when you're a kid, it was deadly serious. It was as serious as the Christopher Nolan film.
You know
film.
What? Absolutely. It was as serious as This Is Us on Channel 10.
That's a serious show.
Surely nothing is that serious.
But the Batman show is the gift that keeps on giving.
I love it. Oh, it's
because
great.
Now you watch it, it's the production value, particularly the first season, is actually not as comedy orientated as you remember. The first season is actually some pretty faithful adaptations. Yeah,
you're
of the
right, because when they had in the first season, if they had an abandoned warehouse where the Joker was hanging out, there would be a full warehouse and paintings in rubbish bins on crazy angles. Mm. But by the third series, it would just be a black background.
That's right, with some cardboard cutout sets around it. Yeah, it got very, very cheap very quickly. But that first season is crackerjack. Production values are awesome on it. The acting is fantastic. Yes. The scripting's great. I love that.
The moment when we were kids and we were taking it really seriously, the moment where we just couldn't suspend our disbelief, in my school anyway, was where Robin got thrown off a building with his hands tied behind his back. So surely he's going to die. Batman throws the batarang down on a rope. Robin catches it in his teeth.
Oh, no.
And gets winched up.
No.
And
then there's, by the teeth.
By the teeth. And then there's some dialogue about, just as well, you've had a successful dental hygiene regimen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. The public service message chucked in their ash.
But I hate to sort of sound like I'm bagging that show, because it is a great show.
It's one of the all times, Ash.
Speaking of the good acting, Locke, what do you think about the cartoons? Because they're the only Batman shows I watched growing up.
Are you talking about the animated series from the 90s?
Whatever was on Agro's Cartoon Connection.
That would be animated series. Yep. That's excellent. Kevin Conroy, who does the voice of Batman, and you would have seen today, have his signature on some artwork living room.
Yes.
He's played Batman more than anyone. And Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, has played the Joker more than anyone before, because he's
now
the voice of the Joker.
Now, there is a piece of information.
Yeah.
Hang on a sec. So, Mark Hamill has spent his life, because people always say that, whatever happened to him after Star Wars?
He's the most prolific voiceover actor in the Batman legacy.
Wow.
And he's one of the world's biggest collectors of Batman stuff, too. He's a comic book fanatic.
Do you do Star Wars, Locke?
I used to, until George Lucas came and ass-fucked us in those prequels.
And we may have had our first beat ever on the team effort. And you were there for our first ever beat.
If we weren't beeping.
Totally ass-fucked without the courtesy of a reach around.
Second.
Sorry, we weren't beeping Lawrence Mooney. I don't know why we would be starting.
I mean, those prequels, what the fuck was going on?
Yeah.
Man alive. And I heard a story the other day. Apparently, there's some witnesses to this, is that George Lucas and the producer of the prequel trilogy, a guy called Rick McCallum, they walked out of just the two of them, Lucas screened The Phantom Menace for Rick McCallum. And apparently this is the exchange that happened when they came out of the cinema. Rick McCallum is Deadly Silence, and apparently George Lucas looked at him and he says, well, too bad, that's all we've got.
Too bad, that's all we've got.
Like, that's it. That's all we've got.
They should have just put that up at the end of the film.
Too bad.
That's all we've got.
In the same scroll, in the yellow.
But look, people are more sort of predisposed towards the recent ones. I went and saw that one, Rogue One.
Yes.
And
no spoilers for me, Tone. I haven't seen
it. No spoilers, but about 7 minutes in, someone turns to someone else and goes, which part of da-da-da don't you understand?
Oh, that's not a great
line.
Are
you going, hang on, it's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Don't start dropping catchphrases from recent times. Why not just have Darth Vader go talk to the hand if you're going down that path? It just broke it. There was no pop culture in the original Star Wars.
Yes, that's right.
No one was doing the Batusi or dropping a line from the Brady Bunch in Star Wars.
I've got a little bit of Tom Waits with Don Lane.
Here we go. Have a listen to this.
How long have you been here in Australia now?
I got here last night.
Oh, see?
Enough from Paris for about 22 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fascinating flight.
What do you do for 22 hours on a flight? You have ways of entertaining yourself?
Well, they show movies that are not a big success anywhere else. They put them on the planes.
Jay's going to dig out some Joker from Heath Ledger Joker for us, but that is Ash, you seem floored by that.
I can just do Heath Ledger.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
I haven't even seen the movie, but I've seen clips on The Morning Show, and that's spot on.
That is spot on. Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
The
first ever Joker appearance in the comic books, his voice is described as crushed glass. And that's crushed glass.
Jesus.
Yes.
Jeez.
Yeah. You know what? It actually is.
Can I? It is, Ash?
I think so.
Try not to take things so personally.
Oh, Jesus.
I want to talk to you, Tone, because I want to talk a little bit broader about superhero movies. Ash, what's your favourite superhero movie?
The Mask.
That's fair enough. Why not?
Good movie.
Mm-hmm. Tone, what's yours?
Well, for years when I was a kid, it was Superman 2, which is controversial because people didn't like it. Yeah, I thought
it's a great film.
The one with the Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees, were they the bad girls? Were they trapped in the Phantom Zone?
Yeah, was that the
high-pitched singing?
Superman 3.
Oh, that's it.
Anything goes by Superman 3. Okay. I mean, Richard Pryor was first in the credits ahead of Superman.
Richard Pryor presents Superman. Okay, and so, Locke, short answer, what's your favourite superhero film?
Superman the movie, the first Superman with Chris Reeve.
The first one. Yeah. Okay. Yes, Ash.
Just quickly, does that mean you like Superman more than Batman?
No,
like
I love Batman, but Superman the movie is basically the template for Batman Begins, which is my favourite Batman film. But Superman the movie, really because of Chris Reeve's performance. I rate his performance in that first Superman film as in the top 10 leading man performances of all time.
Can I have some of the other 10?
You put Pacino in Godfather 2 up there. Yeah. Gene Hackman in The French Connection.
Nick Giannopoulos, Walk Boys 2.
Yep, Nick's up there. Ash Williams in Scumbus.
Thank you.
So, you know, there's a...
Dennis Hopper in Mad Dog Morgan.
He's brilliant, quite brilliant. Yeah. Don't forget the scrotum. But don't forget,
we've talked about this too many times, but on the DVD extras for Mad Dog Morgan, you can hear Dennis Hopper talking about his very good friends here in Australia, the Aborigines.
They are everybody's good buddy. Tone, you put out a tweet the other day which said, from a review of 4, the kind of incisive film writing you'll find in my ebook, Scarcely Relevant. Yes. You can still get that for $6 at tonymartinthings.com. I suggest that you do that. May I quote you?
Yes.
For Australian viewers, this is about the original 4 film. For Australian viewers, there is the distraction of constant references to the kingdom of Asgard, making it seem as though Anthony Hopkins' Odin and his armies are fighting a cosmic battle for control of a managed superannuation fund.
Well, that is what it feels like. I remember in the theatre, people were just looking around going, Asgard? I'm with them. Well, it's very distracting. It's like whenever you see ISIS in something.
Yes.
You know how there was like, we talked about about this before. There was ISIS on Archer for years.
Oh,
and
right.
then they had to change. That was the organisation they were working for.
Change it up.
And then there was ISIS hairdressing, I think, was in Box Hill. I
oh
went
my
past.
God.
Suddenly that was suddenly now like deluxe.
Well, there used to, on St Kilda Road, there used a big ISIS construction sign.
And there's a giant building
with
a,
ISIS on it. I remember literally
sign.
Going down thinking they really like to advertise, don't they?
Except if you notice it's been changed, it's now a neon sign that simply says Shape.
Oh.
And I'd like to think that the terror organisation ISIS will change their name to Shape.
To go Shape. Just say one.
I've just done some research. It tests better.
Yeah, it was testing so poorly in Mosul, ISIS. We had to change it to Shape.
A great question was posed online the other day. This was on, I think, the Hollywood Reporter. Why are bad guys in superhero team-up movies always faceless drones? So the people they have to fight, we saw that in the Superman-Batman crossover in the new Justice League. In so many of these, Ash, the baddies aren't, they're just blobs attacking them.
In the Superman versus Batman was basically the cave troll from the first Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, which was, it looked exactly the same, sounded exactly the same. Lockie, why do they go so...
I'm just thinking about, like, you know, the Avengers with all the robots come out of the sky. And it's because you don't have to invest anything into them as an audience member.
Right.
When you're doing these superhero team-up films, presumably you've got... Apparently the Marvel formula is they carve out exactly the amount of screen time for each character, like a piece of a pie.
Wow.
And if you're really having to invest in what the villains are up to too, which is what happens in a good Batman film, you're following the villain's journey as well. But with something like Avengers, it's like, well, just make them dry. It's like having stormtroopers. You can just bump them off.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't have to care.
You don't have to care about it.
You just go, that's a bad guy. We've got to get rid of him.
But that's not even... Because on Marvel films, that left eye guy played by Jeremy Renner is in it for 2 seconds. Do you know what I mean?
That's not my fault.
You call him Left Eye.
From TLC.
Left Eye.
Well, what's his name?
Hawkeye Pierce.
Yeah, not Lefty.
Father Mulcahy's.
But I agree with that. I can't say. What's he doing in that? Like, he's just a normal guy who can fire at the occasional arrow. He would be dead in the first 20 seconds of that
it's
battle.
It's like the old Super Friends thing, like the superheroes that can't fly and stuff.
That's right. But, you get carried.
Embarrassing.
Bayon. Batman can't fly.
That's right, but he's got the bat jet.
Yeah.
Well, still, he needs the jet.
Yeah.
Well.
What's your point?
That's weak.
That's weak.
Has anyone ever seen, and I'm bringing this up as a question, basically, without an answer that I'm looking for, small budget horror films, they're all the go again tone. There's just been that one, Get Out, which has gone huge. There's every couple of years, it seems as though one of these small budget horror films goes gangbusters.
Yeah.
And I always end up watching them, Locke, and I always end up with a similar sort of feeling, which is, it's just another horror. Mm. Why this one? Not the other six that came out.
Follows was a bit
It Follows.
That.
I watched that too and I was just like,
forgot, but the next day I couldn't remember anything about it.
No. And what is that phenomenon, tone and lock? Because you've had...
I'm just thinking about Evil Dead, the original.
Right.
And the hero's name, Ash Williams.
Yes, played by Bruce Campbell.
Played by Bruce Campbell,
You know
what? That's all that was going through my mind just then. Evil Dead, Ash Williams, what the fuck? That's all I was thinking. Yeah, did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
mate, that's why I can't get Ash Williams. .com domain or any Instagram handle Ash Williams. It's ruined everything.
And is that is that impeding the whole makeover thing?
The rebrand?
No, it hasn't affected the rebrand at all.
There was a recent rebrand of Evil Dead. Was he still Ash Williams?
I'm not sure.
He is. He is. You know what? He is. I was on IMDb yesterday, guys, looking up James Fresherville for some reason, and he's in a new film with Bruce Campbell.
Really?
There you go. So the rebrand anyway, mate.
Talk us through the rebrand.
What's going on?
Yeah, I've got one more haircut, so it's a pro. I went in there 10 days ago. I said to Stavros, I said, talk to me, Stavros. Is it going to happen today? And he goes, you know what? I've been thinking about it, baby. He's very flamboyant. He's giving me a massage. He goes, you know what? I couldn't sleep last night, baby. And I said, yeah, me neither. You know, what's going on? And he said, we're going to cut all the hair off or what? He goes, one more haircut, baby. We can't rush it, baby.
Wow.
We can't rush it. And I said, I trust you, Stavros. I trust you, so I'm going back in there next week for the final haircut.
You should have a sort of a clock, a countdown clock on the internet, and this should be live streamed, I think, Ash. I mean, really, you're looking gorgeous now, but I don't know what the hell's going to happen. That one more haircut could really tip me over the edge on playing on your team. But
really?
Yeah, it's it's working.
Really?
It's all working.
Lydia would be out. I'd be in. I'd have a share of the Batman collection.
There you go.
There you go. And Robin collection, sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Got to have both. Got to have both. And there's a few bat planes. You can toss them out because apparently you think they're piss weak.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, I do.
I knew
I
this
do.
Would happen.
No, I do.
He's dissed the bat planes.
Oh, I can piss on them.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
well,
good. No.
Ashley, I'm always proud of you, but I'm really proud of you at the moment. I just want you to know that.
Thank you, Lockie.
Have you told Lockie about your bank balance?
What's going on?
Have I told you?
No, you haven't, buddy. What's up?
Six figures.
Whoa! How did this happen?
$1,000. No, it's
that's four figures, buddy. That's four figures.
No, it's only
you count the comma as well.
Absolutely.
And the zero.
I'm cruising.
We've clicked over, haven't we? We've clicked over the 100,000 mark,
what
haven't
happened?
We?
How has this been achieved just solely through self-belief and having the right pillow? As you've described,
having the right pillow, having the right sheets. I bought 1,000-thread sheets, and I thought that was the highest until Lockie tweeted me, and you told me.
I should say that these two, Tone, you may not be aware of this, but Lockie and Ash are engaged in an online feud over thread count.
Yeah, I just saw two grown men do a fist bump over thread count in sheets. That's not been seen before.
No, it hasn't. That's it, and the Expendables.
Yeah.
No. So.
No, Ash has got it together, and so have I when it comes to that kind of stuff. There's 10,000 count, and this is for like Saudi princes and stuff. But yeah, I checked that. I checked that.
Jeez, that must be nice.
I know. In fact, it's a fact.
How's the thread count? Five figures. We're talking five figures.
Five figures, mate. Stavros can't believe it. Jay.
We've got some Heath Ledger. Now, let's just revisit. Tony, you told us you believed Heath patterned his Joker portrayal on Tom Waits on the Don Lane show.
How long have you been here in Australia now?
I got here last night. I was on the plane from Paris for about 22 hours.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's Exhibit A.
That's Exhibit A.
Exhibit
here
B.
Is Heath.
And you didn't disappoint. You let five people die. Then you let Dent take your place. Even to a guy like me, that's cold.
Yeah, well, thanks for that. We'll be back with the Leggy Jackie Love.
That is quite astonishing piece of information,
amazing.
Tony.
Amazing, Tone. Amazing.
Jay, before we leave the episode one, what have we learned?
I'll give you a couple of things, but one I'll give you is Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, voice of the Joker on, what is, The Killing Joke?
Yes, most recently did The Killing Joke. He's brilliant in it.
Have you caught up with Mark Hamill reading Trump tweets as the Joker?
Absolutely brilliant.
Here we go.
Happy New Year to all, including to my many enemies and those who have fought me and lost so badly. They just don't know what to do. Love.
Wow.
He's magnificent, and he does a whole series of these. You just, if you follow Mark Hamill on Twitter, he will just do Joker reading Donald Trump's tweets.
It's funny. It's brilliant. Fantastic.
We talked about superhero movies.
Yeah.
The highest grossing movie of all time is The Avengers.
First one?
The first one.
Yep.
Dark Knight's number two.
Yep.
Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2 are 3 and 4, and Dark Knight Rises, number 5, top grossing films of all time. Tony, now you've mentioned Peter Hoare and Dr. Jeffrey Edelson.
Yes.
They are now competing for who's going to get mentioned the most in team effort. Eventually, Peter Hoare may be sneaking up, but according to Wikipedia, he's currently in Lismore.
What's he working on?
I'm not really sure. Just says that's where he is.
Watch
the Joker, played by Cesar Romero, he was 6 foot three.
Yes, and he's the closest to the physical Joker
dimensions
from the books.
Right. Voted in TV Guide 2013, 60 nastiest villains of all time. How about that?
Jeez. Number one?
No, he was one of the 60.
Who was number one?
I'll find out.
Tom Waits. I think it was Tom Waits on the Don Lane show.
Went halfway with the research.
No, Jay, you've done an excellent job. That's part one of the team effort. We're back with part two in a moment where we're going to play my new IMDb game. I give you the movies. You guess who the actor is. Ash is going to tell us all about his new comedy show, which is exciting. And then, unfortunately for you, Ash, the ATO.
Oh, no.
Tone. The ATO, this is real.
No.
The ATO has released their new guidelines around making money on social media.
That's fine. I'm relaxed. I actually thought the ATO is after Ash. I thought this was a ruse.
This whole podcast.
Well, I thought you knew something. You were saving it for the podcast.
I ask you this, Ash? Do you have your passport close to hand?
It's in the drawer at home.
Yeah, you may be needing it.
You may have to just jump off a pier. All right. We're back with more team effort after this. Good.
c'est 500 francs.